Good morning. Welcome, everyone. Always love seeing all of your faces on Sunday morning. I look forward to this so much, and I hope you all do too. Just the time to come together and gather in worshiping our Lord, lifting up his name in praise together. So I want to read in Psalm 72, just the last couple of verses about the Lord. May his name endure forever, and may it continue as long as the sun. All nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Let's stand and sing and worship the Lord together this morning. You are the strength of my heart. You are the strength of my heart. I can rely on you. I can rely on you. When my heart is overwhelmed, I will to you alone. God, my rock, God, my rock, God, my rock. In our trials, you are there with open arms and love and care. God, my rock, God, my rock, God, my rock. In the blessing, in the pain, through it all, you never failed me. You are the strength of my heart. You are the strength of
my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home, and day by day, I know He will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I
Wow, is that a beautiful song? The lyrics to that song, the truth there. How many of you are looking for the race to be complete? That day we finally get to heaven and be with Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to that. But it's Christ in us, isn't it? Well, as you can see, I am not the minister of announcements here today. Scott is gone. they're traveling on vacation. But I just wanted to go through a few announcements and then have a small time of sharing. But I want to thank you so much for your giving, for your continued provision for EC Grace, how God's working through you in this church, and I want to give God praise and glory for that. But you'll see in our announcements, and we ask that you read those. They go out every Saturday, but we have a website directory where you can get on our website, and you can start learning faces, putting names to faces, as God is blessing here in fellowship and learning to know one another. But also some of you who are attending here now who were not part of our directory, after church, Claire will be out there, a few others, to take a picture of you if you're willing to go on our directory. So if that's okay with you, just let them know today. Grace Visual Arts, this is not a ministry here at EC Grace. This is something Alice, God laid on Alice's heart, and she named it this, which is pretty cool. That's this October 4th and 11th. And what you're going to see out in the church and in the lobby area are different pieces of art that people in the church do. They just want to share God-given talent and to bless and edify one another. And so it's another opportunity to learn each other and to just be blessed by the Lord in creativity. So be looking for that. And if you have some art or anything and Alice doesn't know that you're artistic, let her know and we'll display that. I am going to put a private piece out there and I'm going to put one of your names underneath it as a joke. Well, did I already go past the bonfire picture? Go back to that. I just want to thank you all for being at the bonfire Friday night. I thought Phil Ping was going to burn up the entire church grounds. As you know, he just didn't know when to quit piling on to the fire. But that's the beginning of it. That's truly the beginning of it. I couldn't get another picture because we were all too busy running away. This fire literally got to be 20 feet tall. I'm not kidding. I didn't quite measure, but that's my estimate of it. It could have been 30 feet. No, I mean, it was crazy big. We had a good time. We had over 80 people there just fellowshipping, praising the Lord, gathering together. So we're thankful for that. So now, Claire, we can go back to that other slide. Keep moving past. The perch. The perch is our young married couples, single people, all together. They come to this room on Sunday mornings. This morning, they were almost at max capacity. Praise God for what He's doing in this group of young people. But here we have coming up on October 9th, going into the 10th, the Perch Campout. So those of you who want to go mess with them, let me know. We'll sneak in there around midnight, something like that. No, but really, be praying for this group. I put this up here so that you know things are happening here at EC Grace. Groups are participating and doing things together. But I really want you to be praying for this group, the Perch, and the church today. Finally, here at EC Grace, we have multiple ministries. And we're asking for prayer. We don't want to just be a church confined into our local church. But as the local church, we want to have God moving through us, getting the glory, and that people's lives can be ministered to, transformed, and not only take that in ministry into their own personal benefit and relationship with Jesus Christ, but to go out into the world, to go out into their sphere of influence, to impact people for Jesus Christ. So be praying for the ministries here at EC Grace, especially in the day and age we live, where being a church on the move, we want to have an impact for God in our society, right on? So I ask you to be praying for that. Microphone, please. Now, who would like to share something different this morning? One or two of you, or we'll see what God does. Something God's doing in your life in the Word, a praise you'd like to give the Lord, something you'd like to give a shout out and thanks to God, or something He's doing in your life. Who would like to just share? Kyle. Yeah, everybody, keep Kyle in your prayers. Yep, yep. We love you, Kyle. We love you, bro. You're part of us. Someone else? Yes, right.
Yeah, I had the shingles virus in both eyes in 2016. Oh my. Mm-hmm. And I went to different retinal doctors, and they misdiagnosed me. And then I got smart, and I prayed, asked the Lord to take me to the right doctor. This doctor diagnosed me correctly that I had shingles in my eye, and he was probably the, according to his nurse, was the top guy to see in the country.
Yeah.
With the shingles virus, and he said, you could be blind in a month. And he started treatment and everything, and he goes, your left eye is really damaged. I think I can save your right. And I told him then, I said, well, I'm believing the Lord's going to heal my left eye.
Amen.
Matter of fact, both my eyes. And that was in 2016. Well, it was about middle of 2017, and I was seeing pretty good out of my right eye. And then I go in, and a woman puts a chart up on the wall, and I think I'm looking out of my right eye, but in my left eye, I start seeing the big E.
Yeah.
And I start crying because I know the Lord's healing my eye. And I see better every time I go back. And, you know, four retinal doctors say different, but I tell them the Lord can heal anyone.
Amen.
You just have faith and believe in Him.
Amen. Introduce yourself to everyone.
My name is Jeff Lorenz. Yeah. And this is Cheryl.
Yeah. This is Jeff and Cheryl. I've been here 3 or 4 weeks now. And you know how bad I am with names on the first time? I was so thankful that he left his wallet in the pew last Sunday. Because I was able to open it up and say, I'll remember this now. So thank you. But God bless. Thank you for that sharing that God is good. Amen. Amen. Phil. Amen. 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 God is faithful. God is good, right? Nancy. Okay. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Who's thankful for their salvation? Amen. Friday, I went to the doctor because Gabe's been on me to get there and, you know, get this, you know, all my things checked and my blood drawn and all this. And I said, I need to do that. And the doctor told me in the office, he says, hey, I need to treat you for shingles. And I said, how long do they last? Are they 15-year shingles or 30-year shingles? He looked at me. He goes, huh? I said, you know, what are they made of? And he goes, they're made of this. Snake. Nah. But no, I did get the shingles vaccine. Gabe said, Dad, get the shingles vaccine. Hearing your testimony, as sad as that is to receive that, I praise God how he moves in people's lives. Are you thankful that God is moving in your life? Much of how God moves in your life is what you allow him to do in your life. So right now, let's allow him to minister to us. To go to him and worship. Let's sing praises to him. He deserves it all. He deserves everything we can give him. So let's prepare our hearts for worship right now. Lord, I just pray as we come before you, as we heard praises and testimony to you this morning, Lord, these things in life, in all the small ways and large ways, we see how you minister grace unto us, how we can put our faith and our trust in you in everything. We thank you for what you're doing here at EC Grace. We lift up its ministries. We lift up each other to you. That, Lord, we will glorify you in everything. Lord, we pray for our nation today. We pray that, Lord, and thank you for the prayer march yesterday. Lord, let us band together as your children and intercede for our nation. Intercede for our leaders. We pray for their salvation and their wisdom. Lord, we pray that you will be back in our culture. That we will have a Holy Spirit-led movement of returning to you, that you will transform the hearts and minds of our nation. Lord, I pray that we as a church are a church that loves your word, that feeds on your word and desires to know it and live it, and that we are a church, Lord, that loves people, that we want to see people come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, today we're here in your house. We're here together as your church to praise you, to lift you up and to magnify your name. And I pray, Lord, as we know you're right here in our midst, Lord, it's as if you're sitting right here and we singing to you. Lord, let us know that you're here. Let us praise you. In your name we pray. Amen.
I thank the Lord for his goodness. Kyle, man, before we knew God, we were in prison. Yet he loosed our chains. And we were blind, but I thank God for the goodness that he opened our eyes. And these physical ailments that have us, yes, he heals. Oh, but I'm thankful he healed my body, my soul for eternity.
Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing King of My Heart and pray. Use this time to tell God he's good. In Psalm 86, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. Psalm 100, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations.
Good Jesus.
Jesus.
make you happy, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for us. We are so happy all the day. Now let's sing that to him. I love you, Lord. Make that the cry of our heart, our prayer. I love you, Lord. And that's all. That's all my life is. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you. And my soul rejoice to take joy in my King, that he would take joy in what he hears, that we would be a sweet sound in his ear.
I love you, Lord. Take joy, my King.
Praise team, thank you for today. What beautiful songs of truth. We want to exalt the Lord, right?
Amen.
Don't need those anymore. Well, how many of you in life have a small little revelation that you're transitioning to something new? Well, you know, me being a dad, I still sometimes look at my adult children as little kids, right? Well, you remember when your little ones are in elementary school, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and they come home with the teacher with the smiley face for a good job? Well, this morning I come into the office and Claire, you know, being my admin assistant, she checks over the PowerPoints against my sermon if I have any mistakes. And she's my little helper. And she gives me a note. Hi, Dad, no mistakes today. Exclamation point. Good job, smiley face. I'm like, something's changed. Oh, praise God for that. Thank you. But I'm excited today. I think we should be excited every day as believers in Jesus Christ, being born again. But we should be excited any day we get to come together, gather together, and worship with one another. Amen? Where we do, like we sang, we exalt thee. I love that. What a fitting end to our singing to the Lord. That is what we want in our life. And exalting the Lord, we want to be His church on the move. Amen? So, before we get going, I want to kind of do a little overview for you before we get started today. I'd like to share with you the direction we're going, because we've been talking about how we're going to answer questions as we go. So I kind of want to give you a little roadmap over the next few weeks so you can get a feel for that. So far we've had the church on the move was the first message. Last week, continuing what began. This week, you will receive power. Week 4, we're going to see that Jesus came. We're going to title that, This Jesus Will Come. Week 5, show which one. I'll allow you to try to figure that one out. But when we get to week 6, we will start closing the door, finally, on a few questions we had up front so that we can be confident of what the Bible says. As we saw last week, we're going to define these questions biblically. I want to get really clear before we move forward in Acts. We do not come defining questions biblically with arrogance, with a pompous pride. We care and love all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we want to be able to defend and define what we believe so that we can be the proper church on the move. That I believe we have everything we need to be that church already. Amen? Week 6, you will be baptized. We'll be in Acts 2, 1 through 13, where we'll look at baptism of the Holy Spirit and the second blessing. And we're going to define and answer that. Week 7 will be called Signs Will Follow, where we'll be in verses 1 through 13 again of Acts 2. We're going to look at signs and wonders. We're going to look at apostolic succession and things of this nature that are we see in the prevalent in Christendom today. Week 8. We're going to look at tongues shall cease. Tongues shall cease, Acts 2, 1 through 13, where we're going to answer the questions on tongues in the church today from the Word of God. We're going to allow God to define that. After that, we will have laid a firm foundation on some of these questions of understanding, and then we're going to start to move through Acts, looking at the church on the move, and we'll still be intertwining what is the church throughout that. So starting in Acts 2:14 will be the first real sermon of the church. We'll see that in Acts 2:14. And that'll be week 9. If I need another week on tongues, then week 10. You say, wait a minute. He will be in message 9 or 10 and will only be in chapter 2:14. He ain't kidding about 3 years, is he? Have no fear. I have a plan. But today, let's get in the Word. I wanted you to see how we're going to move through these questions, so I don't just keep telling you we're going to answer this this as we go on. You'll know what's coming. We saw last week that if we, are to be his church on the move today, that and continue what he began, as we saw that, was what? His mission, his ministry, his message, and his means. And that's what we want to do. That must also be ours if we're going to continue what he began there at the beginning of Acts 1, verse 1 and 2. So now it is that last one, his means. How many of you are interested in his means? How many of you really want to know about his means? Namely, the Holy Spirit. The third, listen to this word, person of the Godhead. Amen? The Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to focus on this morning. And we're going to be focusing on that again, as I just showed you, in the upcoming weeks. But did you know the Holy Spirit is mentioned 244 times in the New Testament? 60 times here in the book of Acts. Wow. 60 times in this book. The most of any book in all of the Bible, we're going to see the Holy Spirit mentioned right here. So clearly then, it must tell us something. If we are to be the church acting in the world today as his church to make an impact, to make a difference, to bring about real transformation in lives and in our nation, we can only do this as they did, and we can only do this by what? The Holy Spirit. How many of you have tried to live a spiritual life in your own power at one point? It lasts for a little while, but it quickly falls short, doesn't it? You quickly run out of steam. So in our passage this morning, I want us to see the power that you have, the power that we have as believers to be the witnesses our Lord has called us to today. And we're going to look at this in this text. So go with me to Acts 1, 3 through 8. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. Which, he said, you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Amen. Lord, I pray this morning that we hear your word, that we listen to it, that we apply it, that we are refreshed, that we are encouraged. Lord, as we see what you have for us this morning. Lord, we do want to be a church on a move, but the move following you. Lord, we want you to be glorified and honored in our lives. But Lord, we want to also be part of your mission, your purpose, your ministry, with your message, by your means. I pray, Lord, that we will submit ourselves to you in all areas, and this morning we'll hear what you have to say. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So first, go look with me. Jesus convinced the apostles of his resurrection. He convinced them of his resurrection in verse 3. You know, this is the only reference here in Scripture as to the length of our Lord's time here after his resurrection and before, which we'll get to, his ascension into heaven. This is the only time we know he was here for 40 days. You can imagine how important this time frame was. I mean, did Jesus waste time? No, he had things to do. The disciples, what must have been going on in their life when they saw Jesus crucified? No doubt they were devastated. They were devastated, demoralized. What has happened? The 3 years they're walking with him. watching him do miracles, listening to his preaching and teaching, and they had great hopes. And at Calvary, they must have been dashed, devastated watching him die so severely on that cross. Jesus, though, what did he do? He promised that he would rise again, and now here he was, it says, presenting himself alive. Can you imagine that? How? By many convincing proofs, the Bible said. By many convincing proofs. You recall through Scripture, a few of those. He had appeared to them in the upper room and he ate with them there. They were able to touch him there, look at his wounds, look at his scars on his side and on his hands. Imagine that. He also appeared to them at the Sea of Galilee, remember? Where where they were going fishing. He told them to drop their nets, remember? What happened? They brought in a great load of fish, and he once again ate with them. Paul lists a number of these convincing proofs after the resurrection. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 7. He says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now," meaning they're still alive. "But some have fallen asleep." They've gone home to glory. "Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles." You might grant a few of that 500 may have hallucinated or may have, if it was just them, brought about some false lie. But over 500 do not hallucinate at the same time over the same thing in different locations. In fact, many were alive then as Paul was speaking to them, and others could check out their story. Do you know, when I have my little kids and you parents, when your children lie to you, don't ever allow them to get away with a lie if you know they have a lie. Drive that out of them if you can. But what do you have to do? Separate them. You'll get two different stories. You'll be able to expose untruth. Here, these 500 were saying the same thing in different locations, the same story. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a fact. And we could sit here, my friends, and go through evidence after evidence. But aren't you thankful the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just a hope so, but I know so. Arnold Toynbee, the famous historian, said, "There is more evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ than there is of George Washington ever being president of the United States." Historian Thomas Arnold said, "I know of no one fact in history which is proven by better and fuller evidence than that Christ died and rose again from the dead." Are you thankful that you know this to be a fact and we have massive amounts of evidence backing that up? See, Luke's point is that the apostles were so convinced, my friends, that Jesus was who he said he was and could deliver on the life he promised to those who would believe in him. What is one thing that's amazing about them? They were willing to lay down their very lives for their risen Savior. Why? Because they had seen him. There's many witnesses of him. They know he's alive and they're willing to die for him. I mean, who is willing to die for a dead liar? Had they not seen him? Had he not risen from the grave? Had there not been 500 witnesses? Had he not appeared? And as far as they're concerned, he's still in the grave. Would they be out preaching, "He's alive! He's alive! Shut up or I'll kill you! Kill me, but he's alive!" That's very convincing. 145 times they will refer in Acts to the resurrection of Jesus and only 22 times to his death. What do you think they were focusing on? A living Savior, right? Praise the Lord. So therefore, because he lives, we as his children, We live eternally, my friends. We live eternally. We don't have to wait for Easter to celebrate this. Every single day of your life, you serve a living Savior. Praise God, He's risen from the dead. For without that, you'd have no salvation, for He would not have conquered a thing. Because He lives, we have some good news to share. How many of you thought I was going to say, we can face tomorrow? But do you have some good news to share or what? So first, Jesus convinced the apostles of His resurrection. Let's look at verse 4 and 5. Jesus commanded them to wait for the promise. Gathering them together, He commanded them to not leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which He said, you heard from Me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So here He's telling them to wait for this promise. Filled with confidence, they are. They seemingly were ready to go out. They were ready to go tell the world. But Jesus said, stay in Jerusalem. He commanded them to stay right there. Though they had walked with Jesus, they had seemingly been ready to go serve Him. They had walked with Him for 3 years, heard His teaching, even saw all these powerful miracles He was performing, and now they saw Him alive from the dead. They were still not ready to take on the task that the Lord was assigning them. They were still not equipped to do what He was about to send them to do, to go into all the world. They needed something. They needed what you need. They needed what I need. They needed what the Father promised. They needed the Holy Spirit. You see, there's a great truth being taught here. Apart from the Holy Spirit, they could have done nothing, nothing lasting. Remember what the promise was in the first account in Luke. Let's look at Luke 24:49. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of My Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Remember what I always encourage you to do. Don't just read Scripture. Truly read it and look at what's being said. Clothed with power from on high. Now, I call that a well-dressed Christian. If you're clothed with the power from on high, you've got the best clothing anyone could have. Praise God. This promise of power from on high, Jesus now tells them will come when they are what? In verse 5, baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You got to love Scripture and how it ties together. What is the name we have for this event? Do you remember the name? Jesus is referring to the day of Pentecost. This is the day of Pentecost in chapter 2, verse 1, which we're going to look at in the upcoming weeks. The day of Pentecost and the plan of God. So the coming baptism with the Holy Spirit, it will mark the birth of the church in which something monumental is going to happen. Something so wondrous, it will take place in God's program for the rest of the ages. What is this monumentous and wonderful truth about this aspect of God's program that we are living in? What was the amazing truth about the birth of the church? Well, note carefully what Jesus said to His disciples in John 14, 16 through 17. He says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. Did you note carefully what Jesus said? He may be with you and be in you. At Pentecost, with the birth of the church, the Holy Spirit now, everybody, would indwell every believer permanently. It's a shift. It's new. And going forward, He will indwell every believer permanently. This was not the case, was it, in the Old Testament economy? I mean, was that the case there? In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, we see this over again, would come upon. He would come upon, or the word says, rest upon certain people to accomplish specific tasks. I mean, the Spirit came upon the foreman Bezalel, remember, to give him wisdom and craftsmanship to build the tabernacle. The Spirit came upon the 70 elders to help Moses in this huge administration process. The Spirit came upon certain judges like Gideon and Samson as special times for battle. He even came upon unbelievers like Saul and Balaam to do God's will. The Holy Spirit could depart from men like Saul and move to David, 1 Samuel 16, 13 and 14. But a radical change, everybody, was coming with the birth of the church. Something very different than the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Same Holy Spirit, but something very different and radical is about to happen in the church age. The Holy Spirit would not just to come upon you to use you for certain parts of His plan, for certain people, for special occasions, but the difference now is the Holy Spirit would dwell in or indwell every believer permanently. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He is inside of you right now. Praise God. At the moment, my friends, of one's salvation, every believer is placed or baptized into the body of Christ, His church, at the moment of salvation. You see, this baptism is not repeatable. Biblically, it's not repeatable. As I said in the opening, we will finish the topic in 2 weeks. We are going to spend an entire message on what this baptism of the Holy Spirit is. We will look more at all that and what is involved in this baptism of the Spirit, and especially the teaching of what's going on in much of the church today. The teaching that there is a second baptism of the Holy Spirit that one should fast for, that one should seek for, one should pray for, that will elevate that person to receive it into deeper, more powerful experiences with God. A teaching today that if you have the Holy Spirit, great, but you don't have the second blessing as I do. Is that true? Well, I'm going to tell you now it's not. But I want to show that to you in God's Word. Okay? But allow me to share one more thing with you up front as we prepare for that. You see, this baptism is the one baptism of Ephesians 4:5 that is the experience of all believers. It says, there is one body, one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:13 tells us the same thing. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. This is the baptism by one Spirit into one body of all believers at the moment of conversion. Amen. But for now, what can you know? What can you rejoice in? What can you be so happy about that if you are a believer, you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and by God's grace, you have realized this promise in your life, that you are in the body of Christ, and God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within you permanently, forever. Isn't that awesome? Think of that for a moment. Every single believer, whether you're living like it or not, every single true believer has the power through the Holy Spirit to do all that Christ commands you to do. Say what? Yeah, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Every person has the potential to submit to the Holy Spirit and be used mightily, doing what He's called you to do within your friendships, within your marriages, within your local church, within your community, at the workplace, whatever he's called you to do, you have that ability to perform it, accomplish it, do it, because God indwells you. That's right. So we've seen that Jesus convinced the apostles of his resurrection. He commanded them to wait for his promise. As we close this morning in this last point, Jesus commissioned them to be his witnesses. But I want to look at witnessing a little different today. But let's read that, Acts 1, 6 through 8. I'm going to read this again. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? Don't you love it? Even now, they're confused. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. You see, with the resurrected Jesus Christ now standing in their midst and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God, verse 3, and announcing the coming of the Holy Spirit to them, the apostles thought Jesus was talking about what? Restoring the kingdom of Israel now. Love those guys. Makes me feel good. That we need the Lord to give us insight. They were thinking about the literal rule and reign of the Messiah right now on this earth. Jesus told them that day will come. He told them that that day is fixed by God's own authority. How many of you know there's a day coming where God will rule and reign? Jesus Christ will sit on the throne right here on earth. That day's coming. But not now. It's not here yet. He said they should not be concerned with the times or the epochs. Times is this word chronos, okay? We get our English word chronological from this Greek word. Epochs refers to the seasons you may be in that come and go with the times or the state of the times. What season are you in? Those things are definitely just not your concern, he's basically saying. Leave them to God the Father. I've got that. I have something for you to do right now. I want you to hear what I say. What's to be your concern? He basically tells them, and our concern today, Jesus, is to be his witnesses. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even the remotest part of the earth. Let me just sideways something here, not here. Why do you need prophecy? Why do you need to know about times and epochs? Are you going to be able to change it? To create an urgency to obey the Lord while we have time still remaining. It's to create an urgency for those that may be left behind. You see, he says, be my witnesses. There are many blessings that come to us with the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Are there not? We see numerous, he's our counselor and this and that. But there's many blessings. But here is the one that Luke is focusing on here in the text. He's focusing on the power of the Holy Spirit to enable you, to enable every believer who's indwelt with the Holy Spirit to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You see, apart from the Holy Spirit, you cannot do that. You cannot do that. Last week we saw the Lord's mission, remember, was to seek the lost out of his great love for the world. Now we're seeing how the church on the move starts putting this into practice. How many of you like to be told something and then told how to put it into practice, right? Look again at Luke 24:49. Don't overlook these words, everybody, of Jesus and his promise to be clothed with the power from on high. Don't overlook this. Jesus said what? You see it straight out of Scripture. And behold. And behold. Or do you just read that? And behold. And behold, meaning gaze on this. Contemplate this. Regard this as remarkable, impressive to no end, to see the wonder of something. Behold, behold. Right? You see the difference? What a wonderful, behold this. What a potential, behold this. What a privilege, behold this, that we should be clothed with the power from on high to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Such a worm as me, behold this. Wow. We need to see witnessing in an altogether light. We need to see this as something to behold. We don't often see it as the wonder that it is. We make excuses why we don't do it. We come up with all kinds of answers, all kinds of things we say. It can be burdensome. It can be taking up my time. It means I have to care for people. As Phil was talking to me this morning, it means I have to disciple someone. No. Behold! What an opportunity. You see, I want you to see something. Witnessing is letting the love of God shine through us and bridging all boundaries. Bridging what boundaries, Pastor? What was the issue then and still can be the issue today? What did the work of Christ accomplish on the cross? Look at verse 8 again and think about this. You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. That is an outline of the book as the gospel bridged all boundaries. You see, these boundaries were huge issues in that day. They're still huge issues in our day today. Race, color, ethnicity, finances, education, where were you born? What side of the tracks do you live on? You see, the Jews here in Jerusalem, the Samaritans were a mix of Jew and Gentile, and Gentiles are non-Jews in the remotest parts of the earth. What's Jesus saying? He's going to build some bridges. He's going to overcome some serious human boundaries. Who will be included in this new era in the church, in the body of Christ? I mean, did the love of God encompass all of these? I mean, are there boundaries to God's love? I mean, in Acts 2, the Jews were crucified. The Jews crucified Jesus. They're called to be his own. Acts 8, the hated Samaritans are dealt with there. These are the ones John, if you remember, wanted to bring down fire from heaven and burn them all up. Lord, you want me to burn them up? I can bring down fire if you give me the power to smoke them where they sit. Whew. That's them, the Samaritans. Can this boundary be bridged with the love of God? Yes, they too are called with all-inclusive love of God if they'll accept him. In Acts 10, we see the next boundary. We see this bridging of it. The Gentiles were hated. They were called dogs. You dog. You dog. They were called dogs by the Jews. They too. What? Do you mean this love of God's going to bridge to them as well? Oh, the love of God, my friends, that knows no boundaries. You see, witnessing now breaks down all those boundaries. Behold, we need to see witnessing in an altogether new light, for the wonder is really this. And I don't care what's politically correct today. I don't care who doesn't like this phrase. Everybody matters to God. From the most biblical, spiritual standpoint, there's nothing that can be more true than that. No one is outside of the scope of God's love. Red or yellow, black or white, doesn't matter where they come from, what nation they come from, what their background is, what their teaching is, what their worldview is. We can witness to them the truth, the word of truth, because God's love has no more boundaries in the world if they'll accept him. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ without measure, his Holy Spirit can come upon them, indwell them, baptize them into the body of Christ, and give them eternal life if they'll too only believe in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who they are or who they were. I love that. We are dealing with this in our nation today. The church can break down all boundaries through witnessing, because we can give the true message of love, reconciliation, and regeneration to the world. So witnessing is letting the love of God shine through us and the bridging of all boundaries. Guess what else? It is also letting the power of God flow through us and breaking down all barriers. All barriers. I mean, one cannot read Acts without being impressed. I mean, seriously impressed with the power of the Holy Spirit working through the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit working through seriously flawed, sinful people. The barriers were many. I mean, first there was the barriers of the apostles themselves. I mean, what were they? They were weak, fleshly men who just ran away, tempted to quit. The barrier of the Jewish world and this exclusive cult, this exclusive culture of Judaism and so forth that they were going to go out into. The barrier of the racial hatred and discrimination that was prevalent in that society going to the Samaritans. The barrier of the idol-worshipping Gentiles. The barrier of Satan and his horde of demons who hounded Jesus and who would raise up serious persecution to come upon the church. The barrier of the world and all its attractions, the love and sin of the world. Yet in the power of the Holy Spirit, every barrier, my friends, was shattered. Every barrier was broken as the church exploded with power to do all that Christ commanded. And Jesus started setting men free like nobody's business. Love that. The barrier of trying to break through to people who are spiritually dead in their sins and bring the light of life. Wow. Weak men, my friends, were turned to warriors. How many of you men like that? Women too. Weak men and women were turned to warriors. The gates of hell were beaten down, and the hearts of multitudes were broken in repentance to salvation. Something miraculously happened there. And the fact of the matter is, do you believe God can do that again today in the world and in our country? I do too. Are you praying like that? Are you fervently requesting this of God? Are you interceding and then allowing God to do that in your life? You see, we can today. We can today if we are willing, like the early church, even if we must suffer if need be, if we are willing to let go of the things of this world, if we're willing to let go of our own agendas, willing to take hold of the Holy Spirit's power within us to move us and guide us, we can today be used mightily for his glory. How much time is left? We don't know. Let's redeem that time. We too can see our place shaken. Do you believe that? Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and at that point began to speak the word of God with boldness. How many of you know with the Holy Spirit indwelling you, you can speak God's word with truth, love, and boldness? Amen. In Romans 8, Paul mentions the Holy Spirit in that chapter 17 times. Out of 26 in the whole book of Romans, and he closes with this wonderful potential. After mentioning him 17 times in that one chapter, he says this at the end of that. So we overwhelmingly conquer. We are more than conquerors. What do you think of that? R.C. Sproul spoke of one of the ironies of history found in the criticism. How many have heard of the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche? Nietzsche declared the death of God and said Christianity was a religion of weakness. He called for a new humanity that would be ushered in by a Superman. The chief character trait of Nietzsche's Superman would be courage. This guy's character trait would be courage. Above all else, the Superman would be a conqueror. Sproul points out the irony that the words more than conquerors in Romans 8:37 translates a single Greek word meaning this, everyone. We are hyper-conquerors, which is Latin, and Latin actually reads this. We are super-conquerors. We are super-conquerors with the Holy Spirit. He then writes, if Nietzsche is looking for supermen, he must look to those who have been strengthened by the power and presence of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who is called alongside us to come with strength. Indeed, he says, in and of ourselves, we as Christians are a mass of weakness. Man, that's true. But we hear afresh the promise from Jesus Christ to his church that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, Acts 1:8. What a blessing. What a potential. Are you a super conqueror? Jesus told the apostles to wait for what the Father had promised. Well, my friends, the waiting is over. The waiting is over. We are no longer waiting for the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has come and is waiting for us to be the supermen and women that he wants us to be. He's here. He's in you. And he says, I'm waiting for you to join up with me. You don't have to live in fear, he wants you to know. You don't have to live in defeat. You don't have to live in discouragement. You don't have to live in despair. We don't have to just get by to survive. How many of you know that even in the most hardest times we can thrive with the Holy Spirit? But let's be overwhelmingly victorious through him who loves us and has sent his Spirit to indwell us. I love that potential. Do you know you have that potential within you? How many of you are sleeping on me right now? If you're sleeping, ask the Holy Spirit to wake you up. I mean, I'm juiced up to know that God's living inside of me. The waiting is over. Let's get to work. The waiting is over. We have him. We can be used for his glory, for his purposes. You see, it's a beautiful thing, my friends, to know there are no barriers to the love of God if you'll just open your heart to him. There are no sins you've committed that are so severe. There's no failures in your life that are so fatal. There's no shame that you've ever done or could do that's so sorrowful that can be a barrier to his love and forgiveness, because Jesus Christ broke that barrier down. To all of us and to those without Christ, if you only repent and turn and return to his open arms and his loving heart, he floods in to bless, to revive, to transform, to forgive, and reconcile. You have received all the power you ever need. How many of you know you don't need any more power? You've got it. He's in you. If we willingly submit to his authority in our life. You see, one thing I do in counseling, and I'm learning this more and more, I can counsel people all day, every day, only to find year after year they're dealing with the same problems. I had to learn this in my life. Until I love Jesus more than I love myself, I will never be transformed. Let's love him and allow him to work through us. Not only will you joyfully be fulfilled, not only will you have the fulfillment and joy of your salvation, but you will be used for His glory in a mighty way. Because how many of you know, we in earthly statements say, to be used mightily for His glory, you got to do something the whole world sees. No, if you are used at all by God for His glory, that's a mighty thing. Even if it's to transform one life. One life. You have the ability to bridge all boundaries and break through all barriers. So I want you to see witnessing in a new light of the privilege it is. Amen. The privilege of sharing the love of God with humanity. Treating everyone as someone in whom Christ died. Man, is your heart not breaking for our nation? Is your heart not breaking when you see all of the confusion? When you see people buying into all kinds of lies? Is your heart not breaking for the church? You see, God says, hey, look, I want to use you. I want to use you for my mission. I want to use you for my ministry. I want to use you with my message, but I want to do it by my means. And you have those means living in you. His name is God, the Holy Spirit. Praise God. We have the ability to be the church on the move, sharing salvation, building believers. And I pray this week that each of you are filled to the full measure of the Holy Spirit in your life as you fellowship with Him, as He counsels you, as you walk with Him, as He uses you for His glory. What better thing can there be? Amen? Lord, I thank You today. We thank You for Your love and Your kindness, Your compassion. But Lord, we also thank You that You teach us and show us that we can do nothing apart from You. I thank You, Lord, that we were baptized into Your body, that we were baptized in Christ, that we are Yours and that You indwell us. Lord, we all wrestle with sin and temptation. We are bombarded with the world and the things of the world and our own wants and desires. And Lord, oftentimes we move the two together. I pray, Lord, that You will search us, that we too will truly allow You to identify in our life any area that's unpleasing to You. I pray, Lord, that You would move through us afresh, that You would bring a revival in every one of our hearts. And Lord, where You're living strong, where people are being faithful to You, that Lord, You will even excel still more in their life. Lord, for we should ever be searching after You and submitting to You. Lord, I pray that we walk in the joy of our salvation, that we have that eternal perspective where true happiness reigns in our minds and our hearts, knowing that no matter what may befall us in this world, it is nothing. For Lord, we are guaranteed an eternal hope and glory with You. So Lord, I pray that You'll use me, my brothers and sisters, EC Grace, the churches throughout this nation, to be Your eyes, Your hands, Your feet, to be Your light in such a dark world. Lord, use us for this time You called us to be used by Your Spirit with Your indwelling Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we very seldom pray to You by name. Holy Spirit, I'm thankful and grateful for You. Let me listen to You. Let me be in Your Word to hear the language that You speak. Let me follow You and submit to You. We love You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and